All right, let's see if it works.
Yeah?
Sure.
All right, I'll start. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Joomcast, the podcast that features people who are part of the Joomla community and discover how they got there, what they contribute to Joomla, where they're going, and a whole bunch more. My name is Chetan Madan of JoomDev, and I'm here with my co-host, Tim Davis of CyberSalt and the Basic Joomla Tutorials YouTube channel. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Hey, Chetan. How are you doing today, this morning?
I am well. Thank you.
It's an 8 o'clock start for me, so, it's after 8 because, you know, I'm a little slow in the morning, but it's good to be back in the routine. The last episode, it was just you and I talking about our world travels and a bunch of things, but now we have a guest again today, so we're going to keep trying to keep to our schedule of twice a month, right?
Yep, let's hope.
Yeah, that's good. For those of you who don't know about Joomla, Joomla is a CMS or content management system for building websites. As of today's recording date, Joomla is running version 3.9.15 stable, and for Joomla 4, we have the version Alpha 12.
We want to hear from you. You can contact us on Twitter at Joomcast, or if you're listening to us on the Anchor.fm app, you can push the message button and leave a voice comment up to a minute long. We might even include it in a future episode. Without further delay, let's meet our guest for today.
Steve Burge has been involved in Joomla since 2006. He ran OSTraining.com for many years and wrote several best-selling Joomla books. He now runs JoomlaShack.com, which has been around since 2004. He took it over in 2016. And when Joomla World Conference was canceled last fall, he put on a very popular virtual Joomla Shack conference that was well-received by a lot of people. Welcome to Joomcast, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Chetan.
It's good to have you here. So, who are you? What do you do? Give us a little glimpse of your personal life.
I am a British guy who left many years ago because of the lack of sunshine, and I now live in Florida, where I pretty much enjoy sunshine 365 days a year. My wife is American, my kids are American, I like it over here, and yeah, I used to run OS training and did that for about a decade or so. And in the last couple of years, we focused more and more on software instead of training. I'm still involved with OS training, but one of our teachers runs that now.
How did you get into doing Joomla?
Oh, that's a long ago story. I've had a hard time escaping Joomla over the years. I started back in 2003, I think, when it was originally Mambo. Uh-huh. And a warning in advance, this is going to be a somewhat off-topic story.
That's okay. A lot of the beginnings are off-topic stories. It's interesting how people have come from various places and sort of just found their way in.
Yeah, it's never a straight angle. In this case, the story starts in Japan. I was teaching in Japan, working in Japan, and I met my wife over there. She's American from New Jersey, but we were both teaching over there. And we were living in a part of Japan which is right next to Korea. They say that if you stand on top of a tall mountain in the city, that on a clear day, you can see right across the straits to Korea. And after I finished teaching with my wife, we went to get a master's degree in history. And I was dumb in those days. I really was. I thought that it would be a wonderful career to be a history professor, that it would be a wonderful job. And when I turned up to start my master's degree, I ran into all these teachers who are way smarter than me, way more experienced than me, and most of them were working for about the pay of a McDonald's burger flipper. It was just, they told me, Steve, if I have any piece of advice to you, it's please don't become a history professor. And they scared me off really pretty fast. But by that point, I'd actually signed up to do the history degree for a year. And I wrote my dissertation on the place in Japan where we lived, on the history of the city. And I wanted a way to put the results of it online, because most history dissertations end up being 200, 250 pages and an enormous amount of effort. And they normally just sit in a drawer and no one ever sees them again. So I wanted to put my dissertation online so at least it would live there and someone could find it afterwards. And that was 2003. I looked around for the best CMS platform that I could find. It was Mambo at the time, and I put my history dissertation up on there. It started to snowball a little bit. I was talking to someone who wanted a website done. I said, I've done one. I could make it two by doing a website for you. And then after two, it became three, and it slowly snowballed. But for the next few years, I was still working as a teacher. Teaching was my first career, and it probably heavily influenced the fact that when I moved to doing Joomla full-time, I moved to doing Joomla teaching.
Okay, so that was a natural fit for you to just get right into the teaching.
It was my primary skill. And we started a company called Joomla Training initially. Mm-hmm. And with time, that grew into OS training. We changed the domain name because we wanted to provide training on multiple platforms, Drupal, WordPress, Magento, CSS in general, and so on. But teaching was the centerpiece. It was what I was best at.
Do you think that ability, that skill in teaching, contributed to you doing the teaching for the other software products, other CMSs?
It did. I really loved it. I really loved to teach. But I'll be honest, there was probably a grain of truth in what the history professors told me back in 2003 about teaching as a profession. And I think in recent years, I've come to realize that's probably true of teaching in general. We're able to grow OS training to a certain size, but it had certain natural limitations to it. For example, the better you are as a teacher, the quicker your students leave. If you succeed in teaching them in a week, then they've got no reason to stay for a month. It took me probably far too long to realize that we could be the very, very best teachers for these platforms that existed anywhere. But even if we were, there'd be some natural limitations or natural barriers to how big OS training could be. So I decided to step back, and we've made a pivot over the last 2 or 3 years to focus a lot more on software. We've found that the growth you can get with a software product is more sustainable than with training. And mm-hmm. once you hook a customer, you have a much greater likelihood of keeping them for multiple years.
Because with students, there are only so many people who need to learn at a particular time, right?
Yes, the market is fairly limited. You're looking for people who have the willingness to learn. You're looking for people that have the time to learn, that have the money to learn. There's some pretty strong restrictions on the size of the user base you can have.
Now, talking about Joomla Shock and other stuff, do you think you could talk a little bit about what kind of revenue or numbers OS training was doing or is doing?
Oh, okay. Well, there's a bit of a story there too. And it dates back to 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. And it didn't really grow to its highest point based on Joomla. It grew based on Drupal, which we were doing at that time. And 2009, late 2009, I think, the whitehouse.gov website moved over to use Drupal mm-hmm. as its platform. And at that time, we were pretty heavily involved in Drupal too. We'd written a best-selling Drupal book. We had a lot of connections with companies that sold Drupal training. And suddenly at that point, our business exploded because not just the White House, but just about every government agency in Washington, D.C. wanted to have someone in to train their staff on Drupal. And so at the peak, we were doing, I think, about two-thirds of a million a year in US dollars. And it was really going pretty well. I lived up in Washington, D.C. for a while. We'd go 1 week to the Department of Transport, next week Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Energy.
Nice.
You name it, every agency in Washington, D.C. was trying to get on the Drupal bandwagon and was hiring us to do training. And then there was a U.S. senator based out of Texas. His name is Ted Cruz.
And
I hold a grudge against him now. Because
I think you're the only one that holds a grudge against Ted Cruz.
At the end, if memory serves, it was the end of 2013, he decided to shut down the U.S. government. And at that point, all of our training contracts dried up pretty much overnight. They were either canceled or they were kicked back 6 months or 12 months. We'll reassess in 12 months' time. And they never came back again. And I think I learned a pretty strong lesson there, because we looked at our invoice book and we said, hey, we have 50 really big clients. We have the Department of X, the Department of Y, the Department of Z. We have 50 different agencies. Well, it turned out they're really just one customer.
Yeah.
they all get their money from the same source. And when that source dried up, the source dried up completely.
Yeah.
And by the time that the government was spending again, because the training budgets were the first thing to go, as soon as money was tight, the training budgets were one of the very first things to get canceled. As soon as those training budgets started to come back, Drupal's popularity was on the wane. Its peak had passed. And so, yeah, in terms of revenue, those were probably the best years for our training business.
Now, at that time, or maybe before that, what percent of the revenue was Joomla? I think that's what specifically I'm interested in.
We probably peaked at about 50% of online revenue coming from Joomla.
Wow.
In our best days. No, scratch that. I mean, at one point we were 100% Joomla. We started literally doing 100% Joomla. And then once we added other platforms as well, it did stabilize at close to 50%, online at least. I think there was probably a sweet spot for many years of being able to charge people 50, 60 bucks a year for access to good Joomla training.
So that lesson that you learned when you lost all the government jobs or the government job, did that have an effect on you in Joomla Shack when you started picking up lots of extensions that were closing? And was that behind the diversifying that you were doing?
Yes. There was probably a year or so of thinking things would come back, thinking things would get better around sort of 2014, early 2015, before we realized that A, Drupal was probably never going to get back to its previous heights. And you can see that confirmed in all the Drupal statistics now that, in fairness to them, Drupal.org actually has a metrics page where you can go and you can see all the different metrics across the project, from the number of commits on their code repos to the number of new users. And all of those numbers now are maybe 30% of where they were in 2012, 2013. Drupal's down a long, long way from the peak. So we spent a while thinking that things would get better. And when we didn't. We did some soul searching and looked at different business models. And one of the quotes that stuck with me from my reading around that time is that, I don't remember the exact words, I think it might be a Warren Buffett quote, but if you take a if you take good management and put them in a bad industry or bad market position, then the bad market position is going to win. And so we realized to some extent that no matter how hard we were trying, we weren't going to bring Drupal back up. Our training was not going to rebound to where it was. And so we had to look for a stronger avenue to grow. And we started to look around, and my business partner at the time was also the co-owner of Joomla Shack. And we talked and we decided to try and refocus our efforts on Joomla Shack instead. And once we decided to make the leap into software, we kind of stumbled on the business model of acquiring popular extensions that existing developers didn't want to maintain anymore. Because by that time, 2016, even by that time, Joomla was a fairly mature, fairly long-running market. Joomla now has been around for 15 years.
15 years. I think this is the 16th year,
I think Drupal just turned 19, WordPress 18 maybe. These are pretty mature, pretty well-established markets, and it can be hard to break into them. And so one way we figured that we could get up and running quickly at Joomla Shack was to actually buy or adopt existing customer bases from other developers. And quite a few developers at that point, they'd been in it for 10 years, and quite a few of them wanted to try something different. Like, okay, I've done this for a decade. I'm a little tired of it. I need to change. And so we ended up adopting Jcal Pro, the calendar. We ended up adopting a suite of plugins from Alexander and the Perfect Web or slash Perfect Dashboard team in Poland. We ended up adopting an extension called Shack Locations from a very talented guy, John Pilcher, out of Australia. And we started to pick and choose and build an audience of people who were very happy to see the plugins maintained and continued development under new ownership. Many of these people had been using plugins like Jcal Pro for 10 years. And if the alternative was for the developers just to leave, then selling to us was a much better option. Jcal Pro is still going strong now, as are the other extensions.
Well, that brings up a topic that we've been asking in the last in recent episodes, and that is about a business continuance plan. So you're giving examples of people who wanted to just try something else and had these products that people were depending, so you pick them up. But what is your business continuance plan if something happens to you?
That was a second really pretty strong reason to take a step back from our training. One of our teachers, Robbie, has stepped up to take the lead at OS training now. I definitely came to realize that I didn't really have a business continuance plan because the training was very much done with me front and center. I mean, Tim, it's probably not too dissimilar from your Joomla video channel. People come to expect you. They come to expect Tim. That's who they're familiar with, they're comfortable with. And it was certainly true with the training as well. People wanted to see my name on the books. When they emailed in, they'd ask for me personally. And I couldn't take a holiday, really, because there'd always be people needing me. And I realized that OS training was a platform that was way too tied to me personally. And so with this next phase, with the software, I have tried to do a lot better, tried to learn that lesson. I don't really write any of the code now. Our developers write all the Joomla Shack code, do the templates, and it's working. Just the last couple of weeks, I had to make an emergency trip back to England, and I was basically offline for a couple of weeks up until just a couple of days ago, and the business ran, Joomla Shack ran pretty much without a hitch, without me being there.
Excellent.
One question on acquiring extensions. Of all the products you acquired, were they just, like you said, tired of running it, or were some of the people failing at running or making a successful income out of it?
All of the above. Let me think. With JCal Pro, the owner was Vic Drover, and he sold JCal Pro because he wanted to focus on his watchful business, which is a SaaS dashboard for updating multiple WordPress and Joomla sites.
Right.
And oddly enough, maybe, 4 years now after we bought JCal Pro off him, we've actually ended up partnering with Vic again on Watchful. But that was very much his goal. He was tired of extensions and he wanted to get into the SaaS business more. The same is true with the Perfect Dashboard guys from Poland. They wanted to sell their Joomla extensions because they wanted to do a SaaS service called Perfect Dashboard. Shack Locations, which was originally called Focal Point, was a very nice Australian guy who I think just did get fed up, and it probably wasn't perhaps the best plugin to build an entire business around. OS Map, which is probably our most popular extension in terms of downloads, was one of our very first extensions, and the developer of the original XMap had just vanished, literally off the face of the earth.
Right.
We emailed him constantly over the course of probably 3 years, couldn't get a response out of him, and at the end we just said, okay, we're going to fork it.
Okay, so you forked it, you didn't buy it.
A follow-up question to that, so you're buying extensions from different developers and everyone say, they're fed up of developing and they want to do SaaS. How do you convince yourself that you'll be able to, let's say, sell something or produce something that other people who were not able to do, and everyone's heading towards SaaS? How do you manipulate yourself that, maybe SaaS, even though everyone's going the SaaS direction and they were not able to run this, we will be able to pick it up and, run it better than they were?
Two thoughts on that one. One, quite a lot of the training that we've done has transformed pretty well to marketing. So we felt we had somewhat of a step up in terms of being pretty good at marketing. We'd be able to brand and sell the extensions fairly well. And when we took over Joomla Shack, it came with a mailing list of about 500,000 people. And the list has cleaned up since then, but it was a pretty massive mailing list. And so we didn't think we'd have any problems with the marketing, which is normally where quite a few developers fall down. And with the SaaS, we're definitely focused on that for this year. Hopefully there'll be a SaaS product coming from Joomla Shack later this year. It's definitely an inevitable next step for a lot of developers.
Last question on the acquisition. How do you come up with that sort of money? Was it the money left from OS training where you made a lot of money from the government contract? Or how do you come up with that sort of money for acquiring these extensions or plugins?
Normally by structuring the deal in the best possible way. So I don't think we've ever gone up to anyone and said, here is X thousand dollars, we're just going to buy your plugin. We've nearly always tried to be smarter, tried to pay out over multiple years. A few people have approached us and asked us to buy their extensions and said, hey Steve, we have this extension which makes $20,000 a year, we'd like you to buy it off us for $80,000. No. Sorry. But quite a lot of the people who have ended up selling to us have been more flexible and willing to work with us, and maybe we'll pay them off over 2 years or more. And they're also more realistic on the pricing value. I mean, you're just not going to be paying multiple years of revenue for a Joomla Shack product in the market as it is now. Some people have been telling us they think their Joomla extension is worth 5 or 6 years of revenue. Mm-hmm. No, just maybe 2 years if you have a solid product. You might be able to sell for that in the Joomla sphere.
Yeah, it's worth 5 or 6 years if you run it for 5 or 6 years.
Yes. And maybe it's worth 5 or 6 in the WordPress space because people are a lot more optimistic about the future growth. And I have seen bigger multiples in the WordPress area. We've actually tried to take our Joomla Shack strategy into WordPress, and we've tried to acquire plugins and acquire user bases in WordPress too. And the multiples are higher over there because people are understandably more confident about the long-term growth of the platform.
Zooming out from extensions, looking at Joomla, what do you see is the future for Joomla? Where do you see yourself or Joomla a couple of years down the road?
Ooh, that will be decided this year, I think, to a large extent, in terms of what the project decides to do with Joomla 4. It's going to be somewhat of a make or break year. We have experience with other platforms having tried to make similar transitions. We were very heavily involved in Drupal when they tried to get Drupal 8 out, Magento when they tried to get Magento 2 out, WordPress when they tried to get Gutenberg out. And none of these launches are easy, and I don't think anyone's fooling themselves that Joomla 4 will be any different. My best instinct is probably that they will decide to kick it out at some point towards the middle of 2020. That's pretty much what the Drupal community decided to do. They took about 8 years to develop Drupal 8. In comparison, Joomla 4 is like an overnight success. Drupal 8 was almost mind-bogglingly bad project management and community planning. And in the end, they just decided, okay, we could do this forever. We're going to have to kick it out the door. And I think they decided the same with WordPress and the Gutenberg editor. They said, it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. People are going to hate it. But if we want to do this, we just have to release it. And I think they famously got an enormous flood of one-star negative reviews on the Gutenberg editor, everyone hating on it. And, you know, a year, 2 years down the road, it's finally picking up some steam. And I think the future of Joomla will be decided this year by the discussions and decisions around Joomla 4. When they release it, how much energy it comes out with, how much momentum it comes out with. It's a big decision. These software projects have to face these big decisions at some point. With Drupal and Drupal 8, it didn't really work. It killed a lot of the project's momentum. With Gutenberg, it kind of worked. It's still up in the air, even 2 years after the release.
But it didn't damage WordPress either, right? I mean, Gutenberg was really more of an add-on to it.
True.
So even if someone didn't like Gutenberg, they could stop using it, but still continue to use WordPress. I'm not that familiar with Drupal, but with Joomla, we are literally releasing a new version. And if people don't like it, they don't really have an option to continue using Joomla. If they don't like the whole interface or they don't like what Joomla 4 has to offer, they might as well just stop using it.
100%. So by that logic, which I agree with, it's the backwards compatibility is probably going to be the make or break point. If Joomla 4 is backwards compatible with Joomla 3, then we probably have a strong future ahead. Most Joomla 3 users will update to Joomla 4. Things will keep rolling. If the backward compatibility break is too big, this might be a tough year.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. When you reach 31 months pregnant, you got to push You got to push that kid out. It's time, right? So I think there's a lot of realization, too, that it's got to come out. The developers are waiting for it to come out because you're not going to do really a lot of new things in your extensions if there's something new that's just on the horizon.
One question about backward compatibility. Now, Joomla, I know 1.5 to 2.5 was a disaster. 2.5 to 3-ish, kind of okay. And 3 to 3.9 and 3.10 has been ongoing, pretty smooth as long as you keep up to date. How has it been for Drupal, for before Drupal 8, what was the version and was there backward compatibility or what do you think, in your opinion, they missed that they lost a lot of users, project lost its momentum and stuff?
Backward compatibility. The previous version of Drupal, which really was their high point, was Drupal 7. And Drupal 7 was the one that was on the whitehouse.gov site. It was running all the major Drupal websites. And if it's possible to have a negative score for backwards compatibility, that's what Drupal 8 scored. It was literally impossible to imagine anything that was less backwards compatible. And they rewrote everything, literally top to bottom. The entire platform was different. And it served as an easy exit door for a lot of people, because a lot of Drupal 7 users, and as we talk through this, you can probably put Joomla 3 users in the same situation. A lot of people who are on an existing platform, whether it be Drupal 7 or Joomla 3, if they're faced with one of these incredible site rewrites just to get to the latest version of their platform, that immediately offers them an exit door. The door is wide open, and they start thinking, if we have to rewrite everything just to move to the next version, well, let's open the door wide. Let's consider multiple different opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a Drupal 7 user or a Joomla 3 user and you're faced with an incredibly difficult upgrade, well, why not try WordPress? Why not try some other platform? If the upgrade, on the other hand, is really smooth, kind of WordPress style, where there's very little in the way of backwards compatibility problems, then it's very easy just to say, let's stick with our current platform, click update, and we'll be good to go. But as soon as you make that update expensive and time-consuming, well, maybe we can go and spend the time and money on another platform instead.
Well, that brings us to rapid fire.
We've got the building surrounded!
We're going to ask you back-to-back questions. There is 6 questions, and you just provide a quick answer, whatever comes to your mind first. Beside the regular suspects, name a favorite Joomla extension that is not one of yours.
Oh, good question. The first one that literally popped into my mind was Reviews for Joomla, or JReviews. That guy has produced an excellent product for a decade or so.
Yeah.
I've got others on the tip of my tongue, but this is rapid fire, so I'll go with what
excellent
came off my brain first.
What is an extension you would like to see developed that doesn't exist right now?
There is a new open source page builder platform that I've seen quite a few people mention in the last couple of weeks. It's called Grape.js. And it's a drag-and-drop page builder that's specifically designed to be added to CMS platforms. Grapejs.org, I think. It's awesome. And I would love to see a really top-of-the-line page builder like that available for Joomla.
What is one thing you'd like to change about Joomla, assuming you were in charge?
I think it's time to have some paid professional leadership at the top of the Joomla project. I think we've seen this done successfully with other platforms. Drupal particularly has an association which helps hold the big events every year that helps keep things rolling. They've managed to do it in a fairly effective way. I don't see any reason why there couldn't be some paid organizers, some paid event organizers at the center of Joomla. Not to run things exactly, but at least to make sure that things keep rolling smoothly and to facilitate things. rather than to actually be in charge. An important point there, that certainly in the Drupal community, the people that are paid are not in charge. They're there to facilitate, they're there to enable the community to operate more effectively.
What is something you like or love about Joomla?
You know what, I still love the community after all these years and the people involved with it. Some of my best friends have emerged from the community. It's about the people, first and foremost, seeing their success, seeing them have fun writing code and getting involved, seeing them happy and enjoying it, whether it's running a business or doing some of their volunteer work. There are some tough times, obviously, whether you're running a business or volunteering. But seeing them get the opportunity to do something they really enjoy is my favorite thing about the community.
Are you excited about Joomla 4?
I will be if there is, I think, a little bit of a tweak being proposed to the admin template. There is an admin template in Joomla 4 at the moment that was, I think, perhaps just a little half-baked and had a few too many different people giving their input in different ways over the years. So the current admin template is not that good, but there is a proposal that came from, I think, the Joom Shaper guys.
Yeah.
Kashwar.
Yeah,
based out of Bangladesh.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, from hearing him talk, he basically put a team of about 20 of his best coders in a room for about a month and told them to get working on a new admin template.
And I don't think he fed them during that time either.
that's why they finished so fast. And it looks awesome.
Maybe that's what happened. That's what should happen with the Joomla volunteers too, right?
Well, I think he was paying all his developers.
Yeah, no, he was.
For their work.
Yeah, these people are not getting paid. Yes.
And I think that would be an enormous benefit to have a really top-notch, polished admin template for Joomla 4. If that gets in, I think I can honestly say that I'm excited. And then the backward compatibility is important too. But that template would definitely be a big win-win for me.
Those are some very honest answers. Last question. Name someone who contributes a lot to Joomla and whom you greatly appreciate for their contribution.
Okay. I could name one of my friends, but I'm going to avoid doing that. I'm going to name someone that I've never met in person. And that's a fairly small group now in Joomla after all the years I've been involved. The guy's name is Annabel Sanchez, and he runs the JED. And it's a thankless task. I know because I did it myself for a couple of years. And every interaction I've ever had with him, always professional, always helpful, always friendly, runs the JED as effectively as I've ever seen anyone run it. And so, yeah, to avoid any nepotism or picking any of my friends, I'm going to go with Annabelle. Always been impressed with the guy.
Well, that's the end of Rapid Fire.
I'm really sorry.
All right, Steve, is there anything we didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm glad you guys have a Joomla podcast up and running. It's been a hole missing for a couple of years. There was a guy, Peter Bowie, used to run one out of Australia.
Joomla Beat, yeah.
Yeah, Joomla Beat. I appreciate you guys starting your podcast.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Speaking of appreciation, Joomla Shack Conference, you're going to do one this year in 2020?
Yes, we are going to be back. Exactly when we're going to be back may depend on if or when the Joomla World Conference is held. If they announce a date, which I believe they're thinking about, then we will do our best to avoid that. We will probably steer clear by several months. We'll try and do 3 days again. One of the innovations we're looking to do this year is to hold more time zone specific events. So we may do 1 day, which is only European or African speakers, and that will be run on the European and African time zones. One which will only be Australia, Australasia, Asian time zones, and only speakers from that area. And then one for North and South America as well. It seems like a better approach than trying to persuade people to get out of bed at crazy times in the morning to either.
Yeah, there was a few that I definitely knew I was going to be listening to and recording because I wasn't going to get up at 5 o'clock.
Exactly. And if we do it that way, we also get to encourage more speakers from different areas as well. I'd love this time around to get a ton of speakers from Australasia, to encourage some more speakers from Africa, from Europe, to make it even more of a global event. So look for the dates of the Joomla Shout Conference to be announced probably soon after any Joomla World Conference dates are announced.
Steve, how can people reach out to you if they want to contact you?
I look at just about every support ticket that comes into JoomlaShack.com, so you can contact us there. My website is steveburge.com, and I'm Steve J. Burge on Twitter.
Great. Thanks again for being on the podcast today. Well, Chaitin, that wraps it up for episode 15.
Yep. Joomcast is recorded live on locations. This time it was the United States, India, and Canada, using Zoom, Audacity, and a bunch of frigid magnets. If you want to reach me personally, my Twitter handle is @ChaitinMadan. And if you want to reach Tim, you can reach him @BasicJoomla. Until next time, enjoy your Joomla sites.
God bless.